name is Roderick O'Connor. I'm speaking as a resident of Star Lake, which is well within the Blue Line. I was born and grew up a few miles down the road from there in Wanakena, which, as many of you know, is about as far back in the woods as you can get. Wanakena is almost completely surrounded by Forest Preserve. There are advantages and disadvantages to growing up in a town like Wanakena. 40 below in the winter, no supermarkets or department stores, just one little grocery store and a gas station. To do any real shopping, you had to make a day of it, travel 70 miles to Watertown. But there was a positive aspect to growing up in Wanakena, one which I always took for granted. There I could step off my front porch with a pack on my back, fish pole in my hand. Within 5 minutes, be out of sight of human habitation, on my way to Cowhorn Pond, perhaps, or High Falls, or wherever the word had it that they were biting. Often I've made the 7 mile hike to Five Ponds to pole a makeshift raft around big or little shallow, trying for a mess of trout for supper. I seldom been let down in that respect. I just plain exploring in this lovely rugged country. Sometimes I'd sit back and watch a kingfisher hit the water from one of those tall dead spruce stubs overhanging the pond. Those stubs that are so integral a part of wild country as compared to a manicured park. Sometimes on a warm summer afternoon, a deer, unaware of being observed, would slip into the water up to its neck to rid itself of flies and to enjoy the cool water. More often than not, I'd be back in there 3 or 4 days without seeing another human. Believe it or not, I'd even gone for hours at a time without seeing an empty beer can or a candy wrapper. I don't think there are too many places left east of the Mississippi where you can do this. Things have changed quite a bit in the Adirondacks in the past 10 or 20 years, at least in my end of it. The woods are becoming more populated. There is an obvious back to the woods movement. The old timers will tell you that very seldom were campers seen on the Oswegatchie, that's the East Branch, before the 4th of July. Now they come as soon as the ice goes out and keep coming till the hunters take over in the fall. One Saturday last summer, during a 2.5 hour paddle, I met over 20 boats heading upriver toward High Falls, a very small stream. The wilderness area, motorboats, canoes, and even a kayak. These people are a new breed of camper, husbands and wives, fathers and sons, and whole families with shiny new pack frames, nylon tents, Dacron sleeping bags. Some of them are old hands, some of them you can tell are green, but most of them have this in common. They respect the woods. Camping areas are left clean, wood piles replenished. A lot of them come up just to get away and be outdoors. But those who come to fish are usually not game hogs, like the local sportsman who bragged when he was drunk about the 400 trout he and his friends brought out one trip. He neglected to mention that they followed the hatchery truck, you know. No, these new campers from all over the state and outside the state are, for the most part, people who well deserve to use these great Adirondack mountains for their recreation. I believe that this use is what those far-sighted persons had in mind nearly 90 years ago when the Forest Preserve was set up. The point is that we do have people in ever-increasing numbers using the woods. As an example, over 28,000 used the public campsite at Cranberry Lake alone last year. About 8,000 signed in at the registration booths spotted on the trails just around Wanakena, and needless to say, many other thousand used these trails and woods without signing in. 1,600 used the state boat launch site at Cranberry. Snowmobilers are clamoring for more trails and even for uncontrolled access to state land. This is the type of pressure the woods are getting today. Now, we have huge out-of-state land developers and subdividers with bulldozers at the ready, talking of 6,000 to 10,000 units, 20,000 to 35,000 people inside the Blue Line. They do not come here with altruistic ideas about improving the environment, nor even of bettering our people's economy. which has been demonstrated to my satisfaction, would be highly unlikely anyway. They come here to make profits, and when one gets in, the rest are sure to follow. With 60% of the park's land in private hands, this is quite a potential bonanza for developers. I believe that a network of developments such as choked Long Island years ago, such as the people of Vermont and California, among other states, are having their problems with now, are totally unacceptable in the Adirondack Park and totally inconsistent with a forever wild concept as outlined in the state constitution. With the existing pressure on the woods that I have already described, they would sound the death knell for the Adirondacks as a wilderness. Wilderness is an irreplaceable commodity. I believe that as an entity, it is as subject to extinction as a passenger pigeon or the whooping crane, and that we will suffer for its passing. I would hope that the people of this state are not sorry too late. We must decide now whether we will learn from others' mistakes. We must make up our minds now whether what we want here is another Long Island or Disneyland or whatever, or whether we want to keep something a little different from what most folks have, a wilderness we can point to with pride. My choice for the kind of environment I want my children, and someday, hopefully, grandchildren, to grow up in and enjoy was not difficult to make. And if the Adirondack private land use plan, and the result of many long and painstaking hours of work by these gentlemen, represents a deterrent to freewheeling development in the park, I say let's stand behind them. Thank you.